from Storyflow. This is your daily audio brief. It's Chloe, August 5th. 10 stories, evidence-led, no fluff, small inputs compound. Let's get into it. First, from Fill Your Cup. Why Burnout Recovery is Bullshit with Madison Utendahl. Madison Utendahl, the founder of the agency she just closed, shares why she walked away from a thriving business at its peak. It wasn't a market crash or a bad client. It was the realization that her identity had become tangled with the company's performance and that the constant pressure was eroding her well-being. She describes a 70-30 rule. Keep 30% of your life completely free from any financial expectations, letting that slice be just a job or a hobby, which helped her separate work from self. The conversation turns to burnout prevention, not recovery. Madison argues that the popular quit and follow your passion mantra rarely works because it ignores the structural stresses that keep us on autopilot. Instead, she outlines a daily routine, 15 minutes of phone-free reflection, gratitude practice, and, in her case, a supervised ketamine therapy session that serves as a proactive buffer against exhaustion. The takeaway is simple. Rather than trying to fix burnout after it hits, build small, consistent habits that keep the pressure from building up in the first place. Next. Second, from the examined family. The difference between curing and healing. I'm thinking about that scar on my thumb, the way the author does, a reminder that some wounds aren't meant to disappear. The piece starts with a tiny wart that left a permanent mark, then shifts into a broader reflection on what it means to cure something versus to heal it. Curing is presented as the urge to erase, to make everything neat and controllable. Healing is the slower, messier process of living with what remains, of honouring both the old and the new story. The author uses her dad's dementia as a central example. The disease can't be cured, and it can't be fully healed in the medical sense, but she finds healing in community, in support groups, and in accepting the unknown. By holding on to the memory of the dad she once knew while staying present with the person he is now, she creates a space where both grief and connection can coexist. Parenting, a rescued dog, and her husband's scoliosis become additional lenses. Trying to cure a child's heartbreak or a dog's trauma often brings only temporary relief. Allowing space for hurt, for uncertainty, lets the capacity to heal grow. The husband's uneven shoulders, a visible reminder of his childhood vulnerability, are embraced rather than fixed, reinforcing the idea that imperfection can be a source of love. Overall, the essay argues that our culture's obsession with cures can mask suffering, while honest healing, messy, uncertain, and rooted in reality, offers a freer, more authentic way to live with the inevitable imperfections of our bodies and lives. Up next, third, from Talking Sense, from Dr. Martha, psychologist. More connection, less competition. We have broken the halfway mark for summer holidays, only 50% of it left to go. And if you feel like August 2026 has been a very long year, I am with you. I have 2 children, a 7-year-old and a 2-year-old. All things would suggest that it would be my 2-year-old, still in toddlerhood, who I would find most challenging over the summer holidays given her childcare closes for summer holidays. There are no clubs who will accept her, and she is basically stuck to my side whether I am doing chores, working, or going shopping. But no. And then. Fourth. From the future of education. When it comes to college, stop looking for fit. As high schoolers whittle their college lists, decide where to apply and work on their applications, the popular advice is to ignore the rankings and instead focus on fit. The idea behind the advice is understandable. one-size-fits-all rankings don't capture what matters to an individual student. So students should instead choose a college based on their priorities. But for most teenagers, that advice isn't just unhelpful. It's impossible to act on. Most teenagers can't define the perfect college for them, but they can usually recognise environments where they'd be unhappy. Next, fifth, from Mom Brain. Mom confessions, hating work, fighting with siblings, and wishing my husband worked out. Motherhood can be messy, and only focusing on the highlights never made anyone feel less alone. Welcome to Mum Confessions, a space to get the hard stuff off your chest, hear from other mums going through it, and find solace in our shared struggles. Read on for anonymous submissions from mums just like you. Up next, sixth, from Katie Storino. Fall is coming, whether you like it or not. I've tried four new Old Navy denim pieces, size 18, 5/11, and they all feel solid, not the thin stuff you'd expect at that price. The brand now offers sizes from 00 to 30, so the fit range is genuinely inclusive. The arc style is a mid-rise with a curved leg that gives a barrel-like shape without feeling stiff. Good if you want a slightly fashion-forward look without extra effort. The high-rise wide leg is relaxed through the hips, skims the leg, and looks put together even on a busy day, though the rise runs a bit short for taller folks. The low-rise baggy flips the old low-rise vibe into a slouchy, effortless option that works for lazy Sundays. Finally, the barrel cut is high-rise, baggy through the hips, cropped, and has a heavier denim feel that makes you feel intentional even on off days. All four are under $55 regular price and currently on sale for $30 or less. Use code EXTRA. If you're waiting for the first cool weather morning, you'll have a comfortable, affordable pair ready. And then. Seventh, from Kefella. Breakout novels by Jewish women to add to your TBR right now. So I was reading about some amazing novels by Jewish women writers that you might want to check out. There's a mix of magical realism, family drama, and secrets, something for everyone. One of the things I liked about these books is how they incorporate Judaism in a way that feels authentic and immersive. The list includes a range of styles and genres, from novels that explore Jewish history to those that delve into family dynamics. What I appreciate is that these writers are breaking new ground and pushing boundaries while still staying true to their roots. One of the things that stood out to me is the diversity of voices and perspectives on this list. You've got writers from different backgrounds and experiences, all bringing their unique perspectives to the table. If you're looking for a new book club pick or just want to support emerging Jewish women writers, these novels are definitely worth considering. Next, eighth, from Kefella. Klezmer music is having a revival. Klezmer music, a traditional Ashkenazi style characterized by fiddles, cellos, flutes, and clarinets, is experiencing a small but growing revival among a new generation of listeners. Historically rooted in Jewish religious life and important for life cycle events, klezmer music was decimated by the Holocaust, but never entirely disappeared. Influential musicians like fiddler Jake Shulman Ment, singer Sarah Gordon, and Daniel Kahn's band, The Painted Bird, are reimagining traditional klezmer for a modern audience, combining elements with contemporary rock and Yiddish language. These artists, along with others like the Grammy-winning Klezmatics and Basia Schechter, are pushing klezmer into new musical territory and introducing Yiddish songs to new listeners. That's the read. Small inputs, compounding results. Back tomorrow. That's your brief. Find every story and claim your own free feed at storyflow.com.